to that song. He's been faithful and will be faithful still. He'll always be faithful. Thank God for that. We are in 1 Kings chapter 18 and going to continue looking at the life of Elijah tonight. Before we do, I tell you, I couldn't help but think as he was standing up here, the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. If he hasn't been trained up by Randy Ashcraft, nobody has. Oh, no, he's pointing at his mom. Okay, I thought I had a relapse of a couple weeks ago. Brother Randy was standing up here, and I thought he was listening well as his dad was speaking. But no, it sure is good to hear from Lee, and I'm just excited about what God's going to do in Lee's life. And so just appreciate you, Lee. But 1 Kings chapter 18, I'm going to be preaching a message tonight. We're going to continue to look at the life of Elijah. And, you know, Pastor was talking this morning about missions revival coming up. And honestly, I've been preparing this message over the past week and really wasn't even thinking about missions revival or missions conference. But I do believe there's some truths that we're going to see in tonight's account that we could apply to missions. And so I may try to do that, may not. I hadn't planned to, but as Pastor was preaching this morning and I was listening, some thoughts were going through my mind. But we're going to look at another event in the life of Elijah tonight. And I believe this event, chapter 18, is a turning point in Elijah's life. I want you to look back in chapter 17. We're not going to re-preach the messages that we've looked at, but I want to look at verse number 3 of chapter 17. And the Bible says this, well, verse 2 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward. And I want you to look at what it says, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. So for about 3 years, maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little bit less, I'm not exactly sure of the timeline, but for roughly 3 years, that's what Elijah has been doing. God said, Elijah, I want you to go hide yourself, right? And so for about 3 years, Elijah has been hiding himself. And as Pastor read in your hearing this morning, in verse number 1, it says that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, chapter 18. He said, Elijah, I want you to go show yourself. And so I believe this is a turning point in the life of Elijah. Elijah has been at a place in his life where God was saying, Elijah, I want you to hide yourself. And now in chapter number 18 and verse number 1, God says, Elijah, I want you to show yourself. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a turning point. Elijah goes from hiding himself to showing himself. Verse number 2 says, Elijah went to show himself. Verse 15 says, and Elijah, you saw it, Pastor read it, as the Lord God of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself. And that's not like when we think of show myself. So every time I've read that this week and I've been preparing to preach this message, I can't help when I think of showing thyself, I think of Walmart, right? Kids showing themselves. That's not what God's telling Elijah to do, okay? He's not saying, Elijah, go show yourself. Go throw a tantrum, right? He's saying, Elijah, I've got something I want you to do. And tonight's message is the displaying of Elijah, right? We talked about last week the dependency of Elijah. And tonight I want to look at the displaying of Elijah. God says, Elijah, it's time for you to step on the scene. I want you to show yourself. Verse number 17 says, and it came to pass when Ahab, look at it, saw Elijah. I looked that word saw up. I thought it was interesting. I looked that word up in the Strong's Concordance, and it's the exact same word in the Hebrew language as show thyself. And so he said, Elijah, I want you to show yourself. And then in verse number 17, it says that Ahab saw Elijah. So Elijah did exactly what God said to do. And so for 3 years, Elijah has been hiding himself. And now God says, Elijah, I want you to show yourself. We looked at last week how God was using this time of hiding in Elijah's life to teach him some things. God was using that time in Elijah's life to show him some things, right? And God will use those times in our lives. If you think back some of the messages that I've preached on Elijah, God, I was thinking as they were singing how that God had proved himself time and time again to Elijah. He'd been faithful, right? Over these past 3 years, while Elijah was hiding himself, God had protected him. Remember in chapter 17, he came before Ahab and he told Ahab, it's not going to rain, a famine's coming in the land. And immediately after that, verse 3, God said, Elijah, I want you to go hide yourself. Why? Because Ahab's not going to be happy when it doesn't rain. We find out in chapter 18 that actually Jezebel put out a decree to wipe out the prophets of the Lord. And I believe it was because of Elijah. They wanted to get rid of Elijah. And so Jezebel and Ahab said, hey, go through all the land and all the prophets, all the sons of the prophets, all the preachers in the land. I want you to wipe them out because we're trying to find Elijah. There's even in chapter 18, we won't look at it completely tonight, but Obadiah talks about how that they had sent to every part of the country, every place in the country, they had went and looking for Elijah and made a promise with the people of that place. If you find Elijah, you better turn him over to us. But all this time, this 3 years, while Ahab and Jezebel are trying to hunt down Elijah, God protected Elijah. God protected Elijah from Ahab. God preserved Elijah by the brook Cherith. Remember in chapter 17, you could look at it, you've got your Bible. He said, I want you to go down by a brook of Cherith near the Jordan. He said, and I'm going to sustain thee there. God said, Elijah, I want you to go down beside that brook and I'm going to send ravens to feed you. And God preserved Elijah's life. God provided for Elijah there at the widow's house. When the brook dried up, God said, Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath. I've got a widow lady there that's going to take care of you, Elijah. And we know the story, how that the meal wasted not, right? The barrel didn't run out. And God provided for Elijah. God preserved Elijah. God protected Elijah. God was preparing Elijah. We saw last week when he showed his power in resurrecting that widow's little boy. God was just, I believe all of these things was God preparing Elijah. God was saying, Elijah, I've got something I want you to do. Elijah, you're getting ready to show yourself. But before you do, you need to learn to hide yourself. Because I've got something great I want you to do. And I just believe with all my heart that in chapter number 17, that's what God is trying to do in Elijah's life. He's trying to get Elijah prepared for the public. You know, God will always work that way in our lives. We're only going to be as great in public as we are in private. Those that do great things for God in public, I tell our young people all the time, we go to these youth conferences, and we hear these great preachers preach, and we hear some of these great stories of missionaries and men of God and things that they've done and accomplished, and I try to always remind our young people what they don't see. They don't see the brook Cherith. You don't always see them down at the widow's house. You don't always see God feeding them with ravens. You don't always see them up in the upper room, prostrate on the ground, praying to God, asking for a particular promise. We don't always see that. You know what we see? Mount Carmel. We see when God decides to show them, but we don't see when God's hiding them. And so this is a turning point in Elijah's life. God is getting ready to show Elijah. He's been hiding Elijah, but now he's getting ready to show Elijah. I thought about this, and I don't think it's connected at all, but I was thinking, and when I was preparing this, I thought about the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 1, I won't have you turn there, but I wrote down these verses of Scripture. They'll be familiar to you. Galatians chapter 1, verse 17 says this, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after, listen to it, 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. The Apostle Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. He went Ananias and he got saved and then Barnabas came along. But the Bible says somewhere in that period of time, I don't know exactly when, but the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to that church in Galatia, Paul said there was a time between when I got saved and when I started really serving God that I went into the Arabia. I went into the desert. I went away for 3 years. What was Paul doing? Hiding himself. Now, I'm not saying that that's like 3 years is some significant period of time. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I thought it was interesting that the Apostle Paul, he went away for 3 years, hid himself. Why? Because God had something Apostle Paul was going to do. But before he did that, God needed to get Paul by himself. and prepare him and teach him. I think about Moses. He went on the backside of the desert for 40 years before God said, Moses, I want you to go before Pharaoh, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to set my people free. I think about David, how he was in the shepherd boy, and Samuel came and anointed David and said, David, you're going to be the next king of Israel. And you would have thought immediately David would have stepped on the scene as the king, but he didn't. God had to prepare David. There was a long period of time between Samuel anointing David and David showing himself as the king of Israel. And so that's where Elijah is. Elijah's at a turning point. God is getting ready to display Elijah. He's getting ready to show Elijah to the world. I was thinking about this. You know, there may be someone here tonight, you know, that would say that I want God to do something great in my life. I hope there's someone that way. Maybe there's a young person here tonight that say, I want God to use my life in a great way. Maybe God's got you in the hiding thyself stage. See, it's so important that we don't skip this stage of the Christian life. And I believe personally that this isn't a one and done deal. There's going to be times in our life, there's some of you that have already experienced the hiding thyself and then the showing thyself. And as the Christian life goes on, there's other periods of time in our Christian life where God may say, I want you to hide yourself again. I need to prepare you, Pastor said, new levels, new devils. I need to prepare you for the next step, the next level, the next thing that I want you to do. And before I display you, before I show you, I need to hide you. And so maybe tonight someone's in a hiding place. Maybe God has got you hiding yourself, and God's getting ready to say to you, I want you to show yourself. I'm just convinced that if we'll hide ourselves in God, if we'll hide ourselves in the secret place, if we'll hide ourselves and stay faithful to God, I'm just confident that there's going to be a chapter 18, verse 1 in our life. Look at it. And it came to pass after many days. You know, sometimes it feels like it's been so long since the Lord spoke to you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There was a time in your life God spoke to you in a very clear way, and God told you, this is what I want you to do. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to teach a Sunday school class. I want you to work that bus route. I want you to, I've got something special I want you to do. And you know that voice and you've heard it before, but there's times where God puts you back in hiding because he's preparing you for the next step in your life. And if you're not careful, you'll get discouraged in those times. And I'm just telling you, stick around, because the word of the Lord, after many days, look at it, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go show thyself. God said, Elijah, I know you've been hiding. Elijah, I've been preparing you. I've been preserving you. I've been protecting you. I've been providing for you. And now I'm ready to present you. I want you to go show yourself. I've got something great for you to do. And so tonight, with that thought in mind, I want to preach to you out of 1 Kings chapter 18. And I want to talk about the displaying of Elijah. I want to look at three ways that God displays Elijah in chapter number 18. That's going to be an overview of chapter 18. I'm going to try my hardest not to get too in-depth, because Lord willing, after missions conference, I almost said youth conference, after missions conference, Lord willing, we're going to look at the duel of Elijah, right? Elijah went up on Mount Carmel, and there was a duel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And so I don't want to get too far into that tonight, so we're kind of just going to take an overview of 1 Kings chapter 18, and I want us to see some of the ways that God displayed Elijah in chapter 18 and how that God will display us in these ways. I want to say this in opening tonight. I meant to say it before I started. Don't forget this. As we look at the life of Elijah, this is so important, so important. I've almost opened up every message with this scripture. I thought about having it read every single week because we can't forget it. James chapter number 5. The Bible says that Elias, talking about Elijah, was a man. He was a man, okay? That's important that you understand that. You say, why? Because of his gender? No. Because there's people that will try to say that Elijah was an angel or Elijah was some superhuman. But the Bible wants us to know, because of some of the things that Elijah did, it's almost as if in the New Testament, God moved on the heart of James and said, James, I want you to let these people know Elijah was a man. And the Bible says that Elijah was a man that was subject to like passions as we are. That's so important. You see, if the Bible didn't say that, then what Elijah's doing may not apply to our lives. But because the Bible tells us in the New Testament that Elijah was a man that was subject to like passions as we are, you know what James is saying? James is saying Elijah's just like you. Elijah's just like me. And so there's some things that we can learn from the life of Elijah. And I want to learn a couple tonight about the displaying of Elijah. Number one, the first thing I want us to see is this. God will display us in difficult places. In difficult places. I don't want to spend too much time here because it seems like every message I've mentioned what was going on. But I think it's so important that we understand. I was doing some reading. I think it was F.B. Meyer. I can't remember. I tried to find it and I couldn't find it. And I searched. You ever get to looking for something, or is it just me that does this? You get to looking for something, it just consumes you. Am I the only person that way? I'm feeling alone. Okay, there's a couple. Okay, a couple of you with me. I mean, just consumes you. And next thing you know, you've like spent 2 hours and you're like, I got to move on. I got to move on. I got to move on. But I can't move on. I got to move on, but I can't move on. Right? I did that for a little while. It wasn't 2 hours, but I was trying to find this quote and I couldn't find it. It was just, I was searching books, looking at commentaries, Googling and all this stuff, trying to find this quote, and I couldn't find it. I don't know. Maybe it didn't even exist. Maybe God spoke to me in a dream. I'm just playing. God didn't give me a vision. I might have heard it in a message. I don't know. But it was talking about the land that Elijah was living in. I want you to see something in verse number 2. It says, Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. Look at it. And there was a sore famine in the land. The quote that I was talking about was an explanation of the land in this day. Can you imagine? I don't think sometimes our minds can imagine. 3 years, no water. These people were in a difficult place. I'm talking about there was dryness, right? No rain, no water. This man that I was reading after was talking about how that you would look around and everything would be yellow. All the grass was gone. You'll read here in a little bit, we may look at it in chapter 18, that Ahab told Obadiah, he said, let's go split up and go across the land and check every river and every brook, every spot there's water, and see if we can find some grass. It's dry, it's a desert, it's barren, right? I mean, there's no water. And so you got to understand the place that God shows Elijah, the place that God displays Elijah. It's a dry place. It's a diseased place. This man was talking about how that disease is associated with famines, how that disease is associated with droughts, how that disease is associated with all this stuff that was going on in the land. And no doubt it was a dry place, and there was disease. There was animals that were diseased. There were humans that were diseased. I mean, everywhere you look, there was death. This man said, no doubt, as you would walk through those streets or through those pathways or through those towns or through those fields, you would see cattle laying around dead from the drought. I mean, if the king is spreading out, going across the land, trying to find food and water for his horses and his mules, and that's what the Bible says, can you only imagine what the poor people had done? And so we got to get in our minds what was going on here. God said, Elijah, I want you to go to a difficult place. I'm going somewhere with this. Hang in here, please. It's important. God says, Elijah, I'm going to send you to a place that's dry. I'm going to send you to a place there's disease. I'm going to send you to a place where there's death. I'm going to send you to a place where there's desperation. Can you imagine the desperation in that part of the world? People are just, I mean, desperate times. You ever heard those saying, desperate times call for desperate measures? 3 years, famine. Not just a famine, a sore famine. I mean, this place is in bad shape. And God says, Elijah, that's where I want you to go. I thought about our missionaries. I wasn't planning to preach it as a missions message, but as I was thinking about some of our missionaries, you know what God has asked them to do? Go show yourself in a dry place. Maybe physically dry without water, but maybe spiritually dry without the living water. Go show yourself in a diseased place. Maybe really diseased. There's places, I think of South Africa, we heard tonight from the Hall family. I can't even remember the statistics, but it's outrageous. Like 50% of the men in South Africa have AIDS. That may be a little high, but I'm not real high. It's unreal. So a place that is diseased physically, but possibly spiritually. You know, sin is a disease. A place of death. God says, I want you to go to a place where there's death. There's men. I think about Brother Keith Shoemaker there in Burkina Faso going out into the jungles. I just showed a man at the summit last week a video. He didn't know about Brother Keith, and I was showing him a video of Brother Keith in one of those villages, and they had a missionary team there drilling a well, and those people were just dancing around with that fresh water. A place of disease, a place of death. A place of desperation. And God says, hey, I want you to go and show yourself. And that's what some of our missionaries are doing. But can I tell you this? It's not just what our missionaries are doing. It's what our bus workers are doing. It's what our pastor has done for 40 years. I thought about all the difficult places that God has sent this man. And I'm not saying that because he's sitting here. I'm saying it because it's so. Miss Jenny asked me to visit a man. I won't say his name, but Miss Jenny asked me to visit a man, and she's been wanting me to visit for a couple weeks, and I told her as soon as we got back from youth conference and everything that I would go. And yesterday afternoon, I was going to his house, and I know the man from when I was a child, but I haven't seen him in a long time. But he's in a very difficult place. If I told you his story, you would understand. He's in a very difficult place. And as I was heading to his house yesterday, if I'm honest with you, I was thinking, what am I doing? I bet you pastors thought that a lot. What am I doing? Or how am I going to do this? But we've got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to go to those difficult places. Somebody's got to go to that family that just lost a loved one. Somebody's got to go to that child whose family is parents are divorced. Somebody's got to go to those people that are down and out, right? And God says, Elijah, I want you to go. And it could be that tonight God is saying to somebody at Fellowship Baptist Church, you've been hiding yourself. I've been preparing you for such a time as this. Are you listening? I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I know this. God put this message on my heart. I couldn't get away from it. And I'm telling you this, there could be someone here tonight. Maybe it's me. I don't know. God's been dealing with my heart. But maybe there's someone here tonight, and God has been hiding you, and God is going to call you now, and he's going to say, I want you to go show yourself. And you might have to go to a difficult place. And I'm not talking about Burkina Faso. I'm not talking about South Africa. I'm not talking about Argentina. I'm not talking about Russia. I'm saying it could be across the street. It could be to a family member. It could be to a workplace. I don't know, but I just know this. God says, hey, God will send us to some difficult places. You know, we wish sometimes that God would just send us to the beautiful places. You know, God, send me on an easy task. Can I tell you what Jesus said? The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. God's going to send, most of the time when God sends us somewhere, it's probably going to be pretty difficult. And not necessarily for us if God's sending us, but in the, as you look at it, it's going to seem difficult, right? But God will do that. God sends him to a difficult place. Man, my mind just I skipped over something in my notes. You might have noticed me looking earlier. I was talking about hiding yourself and presenting yourself. You know, I was talking about the Apostle Paul, and I had it in my notes, and I forgot, but I do want to say this because the Lord just brought it to my mind, and I think it was for a reason. You know, even Jesus, just in case there's somebody that says, I don't know if I agree with that, Brother Dave. You know, even the Lord Jesus said, my time is not yet come. His disciples said, Jesus, do this. You know, he told them, he said, fellas, my time is not yet come. When time is ready, and it was about 3 years. About 3 years. I don't know. I'm just saying it's interesting. The earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus was about 3 years. And God said, all right, Jesus, it's time. Show yourself. And I'm just telling you, hey, God will hide us. But then God will say, all right, I want you to show yourself. He'll display us. So number one, God will display us in difficult places. Number two, God will display us to different people. He'll send us to difficult places, but I want to remind you tonight, he'll also send us to different people. If you look in chapter number 18, God sends Elijah, chapter 18 alone, he sends Elijah to a couple different people. Now, I've labeled these groups for alliteration's sake and for my sake, and if you don't like my alliteration, that's fine, but I want you to see what God says. Look at the first person that I see that God sends Elijah to. Verse number 3, it says this, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. And I want you to see something in parentheses. The Bible says, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. You see that? Don't worry about that. Listen up to me. Hey, listen. Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. There's a lot of controversy and a lot of question marks about this character, Obadiah. If any of you have ever studied 1 Kings chapter 18, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, then go home and do some research, and you will find people all over the spectrum on Obadiah. I have a Scofield reference Bible. If you have a Scofield reference Bible, I believe in the Scofield. He doesn't paint a very pretty picture of Obadiah, right? But I'll be honest with you. I've studied this section of Scripture in depth, and I've looked at it and looked at it and looked at it, and I am just of the belief that Obadiah was a good man. Now, I will say this, possibly, are you listening? He was struggling. Possibly he was struggling. I kind of want to put here, he was steadfast. You say, what do you mean, Brother David? Well, I mean, look at what the Bible says about him. It says, number one, I want us to see, the Bible says that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. I don't care what the commentator says. I don't care what the professor says. I don't care what the preacher says. I care what the Bible says. The Bible says that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. That's a pretty good compliment if you're Obadiah. The Bible says that he feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all the fountains of water and find grass to save horses and mules alive that would lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pasture out. And Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, look at it, Elijah met him. So we see the first person that Elijah came to was Obadiah. And it says, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered him and said, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. So when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, look at it, fear the Lord from my youth. It tells Elijah what he did, how that he hid the prophets in the caves. And now thou sayest, verse 14, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So I would say this about Obadiah. He may have been a steadfast Christian. I mean, he was serving the Lord. He had the prophets hid in the cave, feeding them with bread and water, risking his life, right? I mean, I think he's pretty courageous, personally. Some people think he's a coward. I'm not, that's up for debate. I think he's pretty courageous knowing Ahab and Jezebel might kill him, but he's still trying to hide those prophets and feed them with bread and water. But no doubt, so whether you believe he's steadfast or whether you believe he's struggling, because there is a little bit of a sign possibly he's struggling. He's scared. Did you see it when I was reading it? He said, Elijah, if I go back and tell Ahab that you're here, he might kill me. And we read that and we're like, you big sissy. It's easy to say that sitting here on a padded pew. It's another thing when it's you. And they've already slain all the prophets in the land. And now all of a sudden you're supposed to go back and tell the king, hey, I saw Elijah. Right? And so, I don't know. Steadfast, struggling, I'm not sure. But I know this. Elijah said, I want you to go to him. Can I tell you, God will send us to people like that? People that are struggling. Christians that are going through difficult times. They're scared. They're struggling in their walk with God. They don't know what to do. And sometimes God will say, I want you to go show yourself to that struggling Christian. I want you to go show yourself to that steadfast Christian. I want you to go remind him that I'm still on the throne and that I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. Elijah, go to him. I think it's interesting Elijah came to Obadiah first. I just think that's interesting. God said, go. He could have went straight to Ahab, but he went to Obadiah. And I just believe God says, hey, I'm going to let my servant know. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. Don't you worry. And so he sends him to someone that's struggling or possibly someone that's steadfast. He sends him to the scorner. Look at verse 17. It says, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, look at it, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. So God sends Elijah to show himself to Obadiah, that steadfast or possibly struggling Christian. I'm not 100% sure. But he also sends him to Ahab, that scorner, that one that hates God. That one that is trying to slay the prophets of God. The one that's blaming Elijah for what's happening in the land. And Elijah says, no, Elijah, Ahab, it's not me, it's you. You know, God will send us to those scorners. God will send us to those scorners. Somebody's got to go to them. Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to present them with the truth. And God says, Ahab, God says, Elijah, you've been hiding yourself now for almost 3 years. I want you to show yourself. I want you to go to a difficult place. I want you to go to some different people, some scorners, some that are struggling. And then he says, I want you to go to those that are straddling. Look at verse number 21. Well, verse 19, it says, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And look at it. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, look at this, how long halt ye between two opinions? If you look up that word halt, it literally means to hop, to hobble. It's like someone that is one foot. There's some of the concordances. You look it up. It says to dance, hopping back and forth, dancing between two opinions, right? Straddling the fence. God says, Elijah, I want you to go to those people that can't make up their mind. They don't know what to believe. They know there's a famine. They know there's a drought. They know there's disease. They know there's death. They know it's a desperate situation, but they don't know what to do. They don't know what to believe. And God says, Elijah, I want you to go show those people. And so Elijah goes to those people and he says to them, how long halt ye? How long are you going to straddle the fence? If God be God, then serve him. If Baal be God, then serve him. Reminds me of Joshua when he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Yes, Elijah said, you got to make up your mind. And God will send us to different people. Some are struggling. Some are steadfast. Some are scorners. Some are straddling. They're in and out. They're off and on. They're halting between two opinions. They can't make up their mind. But God wants us as Christians, as men and women of like passion as Elijah was, to go and to show ourselves to them and help them. And so God says, Elijah, I want you to display yourself in difficult places. I want you to display yourself to different people. And then last, God says, I want you to display yourself for a definite purpose. I wonder tonight, There's a difficult place God wants you to go. I wonder tonight, is there some different people that God wants you to reach? Maybe God's ready for somebody here tonight. Are you listening to me? If it's just one that's listening tonight, maybe there's someone of like passion as Elijah, a human, a man just like Elijah, that God is saying, hey, I want you to go show yourself to these people. Maybe it's across the sea. Maybe it's across the street. But is there someone that God wants you, God wants me to show myself to? I'm just convinced God is a God of action. And God will hide us in a secret place. And God will prepare us. And God will sustain us. And He'll provide for us. And He'll protect us. And He'll do all these things for us. But there comes a time where God says, Elijah, I've taught you to depend upon me. Now, Elijah, I want to display you. I want you to go and do something. And I'm just convinced tonight there may be somebody here. You've been hiding too long. And God's saying, it's time to show yourself. It's time to go show yourself. And it may be a difficult place. And it may be some different types of people. But God says, show yourself. David, show yourself. Fellowship Baptist Church, show yourself. Right? He says, different people. And then last, and I'm closing with this, it's for a definite purpose. I said I don't want to get too far in this because we'll look at it in greater detail in our next message on Elijah. But I believe this. I believe God sends Elijah for a distinct purpose. God always sends His children with a distinct purpose. God doesn't do anything just to do it. Okay? We may waste time. We may just do stuff to kill time, but God doesn't. And God has a plan. And God has a purpose. And it may have seemed like for a little while there for that 3 years while Elijah was hiding himself down there with that widow or down by that brook, he may have felt like God wasn't doing anything. But can I tell you, the whole time God was doing something. The whole time God was active. God was preparing Elijah for this moment. And now God says, Elijah, I've got something I want you to do. And it's very distinct what I want you to do. I've got a message, Elijah. And can I tell you, we've got a message. You've got a message. I've got a message. God has given His people a message. And God says, I want you to show yourself. And I want you to give the world this message. He says, look at verse number 37. I'm just going to skip down and finish my message. He said, hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God. And that Thou hast turned their heart back again. And the Bible says in verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. You see, God had a definite purpose for Elijah. And that was, Elijah, I've got a message. I got a message for Obadiah. Go get Ahab and tell him Elijah's coming. I got a message for Ahab. Ahab, you're the problem, not me. I've got a message for the people of Israel. How long halt ye between two opinions? I've got a message for the prophets of Baal. Is your God asleep? Is your God on vacation? Where's your God at? God said, I've got a message, Elijah. I want you to carry my message. And then He said, Elijah, I've got a motive. And you know what that motive is? It's for God to get the glory. Amen. He said that Elijah knew what the motive was. He said that all the people, he said that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. When God displays His servants, it's because He has a definite purpose for it. I wonder tonight if God is calling some of us to go to a difficult place, to different types of people, with a definite message, a definite purpose. I wonder if God is calling us tonight to show ourselves. To show ourselves. People say to their children, I'll close with this. We're going over to the pastor's house tonight. Don't show yourself. Right? Y'all see, y'all think, y'all can laugh, not laugh. It don't matter. It's the truth if you got small kids. Y'all say the pastor's house. I say we're going over to Papa's house tonight. Ain't that right, brother Brian? Don't show yourself. Tonight I'm saying this. Show yourself. Show yourself. This world is in a bad place. We live in a dry and barren land. There is disease and death and desperation all around us. And we got to do the difficult thing. We got to go to the funeral home. We got to go to the hospital. You know, that's one thing, and I really want to close my message. I wanted to be done at 10 after, and I got to do this, but I just want to say this, and you can shut your Bibles. That's one thing happened in 2020. Pastor Brian and I were talking about it yesterday. Something happened in 2020, and the devil's slick, and he shut down some things, and I think it's time to open them up again. It's time to get back out there and show ourselves and tell this world that there's a God, and it's not easy. And if we haven't hidden ourselves, we're probably not going to show ourselves. But after we've hidden ourselves for some time and God showed us some things, I think it's time for us to get out and show ourselves. Amen. And so maybe tonight God's saying to somebody, show yourself. Get back on that bus route. Get back knocking those doors. Get back witnessing those people at work. Go back into that nursing home. Go back to that hospital and visit those people that are sick. Go down to that. I was thinking yesterday, Rutgersville had some event going on up there on 33. And as I was going to make that visit, I rode by and I thought, Miss Jenny, why am I not out here today? Why am I not out here showing myself? I believe if the Apostle Paul lived in Greene County, he would have been at the livestock show or carnival or whatever that thing was, showing himself. Handing out gospel tracts. I believe Elijah would have been down there talking to people, saying, hey, there's a God in heaven and you need to know him. And I'm saying tonight, hey, let's show ourselves. Let's go out into our communities, to our workplaces, get schools getting ready to go back. You know what some of you young people need to do that go to a public school? You need to show yourself. All the other kids are. Show yourself. God, help us to show ourselves the displaying of Elijah. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. It's easy to preach this kind of stuff. And I mean it. It is. It's easy. It's a whole lot harder to practice it. God, give me the boldness, the courage, the character, whatever it is, to practice what I preach. God, help me to show myself. You can begin to play.